Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's get to it, man. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations I want my sons to access as they grow through life, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. John. J. Black is off. We got a repeat offender. No pun intended. Or maybe pun intended. Repeat offender on the show. Joe T. Baker III. What's good, my brother?
Man, okay. So, boom, man. I'm glad to be back, man. I feel like this podcast most definitely got a lot of substance.
Yeah.
It's needed. So I said, man, we got to keep this going.
Appreciate you.
For sure.
Anytime anybody's talk about consistency with me, I'm good.
That's what's up.
Because that's what my focus is, man. And you got a groove because you've been consistent. And I'm here to follow that lead and see what I can add value to.
That's real. That's real.
But let's before we get started, man, how are you?
Man,
seriously.
I'm great.
Okay.
I think, well, it's 2025 now, but I think close to the end of 2024, I reached one of my best mental spaces in life.
Dope.
Engaged. Relationship with my daughter is dope.
Yeah.
The favor on my life. And that ain't got nothing to do with the tangible things. It's just where I'm at,
yeah. Like
spiritually, free, entrepreneur, so I'm able to move how I want to move.
Yeah.
Mom's great. Fam's great. Pop's good, even though he's locked up doing 2 life sentences. He got his stuff moving and grooving. He good. I don't have no complaints, man. And I've watched here recently, the Most High allowed me to become more accessible to people.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of the journey, you know, I'm thinking build until I'm ready to. And now I think I'm starting to see, okay, I did what you asked.
Right.
Now I need you to be more of a servant to. So I'm in a great place.
That's dope, man. That's dope, man. I appreciate the honest answer. Man. One thing that popped out is the engagement. We didn't get to it last time. I kind of shied away from it last time, so that was on me. Because, some people are, you know, we still figuring each other out. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I respected that part of your life. But you brought it up there. You brought it up. So what did that solve in your life when you found the one?
Stability.
Okay.
First and foremost. I wanna say feel the void, but then again I don't wanna get it misconstrued when I say it. But I know all of my life, one thing I desire, even at a young age, because none of the women in my family married, none of the men in my family married. Right. And all of those conversations are always belittling to the opposite. If the women talking is the men ain't this, if the men talking is the can't trust women, this is what they want. They all want the money. It was all the same conversation my entire life. When I met her, beautiful person inside and out, pure heart. Then when I met her family, it was another plus because the way I seen her family operate at times, the way they talk, I was like, that's pretty dope. Then what got me about her was a lot of her friends, majority of her friends, 95% of her friends are married. And when I went around that to see Black men married, I don't care nothing about the ups and downs, you're still there. And they were still able to be men, locker room conversation, kicking it. And I was like, marriage ain't prison.
No.
And they were free. I got to see them kicking and I was like, wow. And knowing she's been around them type of examples, her parents been married 30 years. I was like, this dope. This is something. And as we kept going, my whatever that was that I probably didn't realize I've been having up for all these years had just.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was. And then I know. She here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she funny too. Like on the video, I don't know, but on the videos, it's like the nonverbal stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, she got it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
She got it.
Our fun, yeah. Our fun. She'll balance for me because I'm more laid back, chill. She the life of the party. Yeah. So we balance each other. So when I need her to come down, she know I'm chilling. You know, so
Hey, you picked up on a very valuable lesson, whether you know it or not, that evaluating her family and her surroundings is very important because you marry into all of that.
For sure.
You don't just marry the person and y'all go off and have a life. You marry everything that they've been through.
Most definitely.
And everything they haven't let go of and haven't resolved.
Most definitely.
That's a really good thing. And I can say the same about my wife. It hasn't been perfect, largely on my behalf because I was foolish and had my priorities the wrong way in terms of just like pursuing corporate and trying to be successful, calling the wrong thing success. Mm-hmm. They say the ladder of success. I always say, make sure it's leaned against the right building. I was up the ladder.
I heard it. I liked it.
Was up the ladder.
That's dope.
the building won't right, bro. So let's get into it, man. Because your platform is a get into it platform. And I'm not saying that to belittle. I think you understand what I'm saying.
For sure.
Like you stand on something and allow people to feel how they feel. Sometimes you engage. Sometimes you provoke thought. Sometimes you allow the silence to deafen them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this theme when I go through your page for the comments. Sometimes I'm in the comments about being a hypocrite, right? And that's kind of we can kind of peanut butter. Well, I don't like peanut butter. We can kind of smear that thing across a few different topics or categories. But let's start with I think the most current one is what you said about Big Meech.
For sure.
Right. And it's not so much about Big Meech as it is the representation and how you feel about what's being celebrated now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I told you before, I'm not going to ask you to clarify anything.
Mm-hmm.
State your name, gangster. State your claim.
State your claim, gang. I stand on that, man. A lot of times, you know, my thing is I'm not going to go back and forth with you because I believe what I believe. And when I say I ain't going to go back and forth with you, at the end of the day, you're going to believe what you believe, too.
And that's fine.
Yeah. And that's cool with me. I ain't into canceling people because you didn't agree with me. You know what I'm saying? But I know a lot of times in social media, it don't allow me the space to really have that kind of conversation. Going back and forth in that comment section sometime, it's not going to go nowhere because you can't even really get to a common ground if we ain't like this. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the Big Meech situation, what I'm saying is the generation that we live in now, we know what Big Meech name is stamped for. We know it's connected to, in my opinion, helping destroy the black community. I don't believe there's a balance because I see a lot of people saying, he helped a lot of families. I don't consider it that because there's no balance in I destroyed hundreds, thousands of people, but I helped these people with the money that I helped destroy. I don't believe in that balance. It don't make sense to me for people to assume that that's okay. And for the people who took that money and you'll defend him on the basis of you benefited from the destruction of other people. And I say that from experience. When I say that, I come to understand when I was helping my mama paying bills and she was taking the money or asking for money, or when I had to help with something with my daughter, or I did something with people who needed help from my family, I was serving people, aunties and uncles, and you know what I'm saying? I know people right now who in the game who selling fentanyl. People overdose and die. And on the strength of you giving other people money, helping pay bills when they need it, or doing this and doing that, they don't look at you as a bad person. You a horrible person. That's my opinion. Now, when it comes to people saying, as far as me being, and I'm going to stay on Big Meech. Big Meech could have, he served his time. I respect that. He got caught. I did too. He went in. He did his time. He come home. This is my opinion. People like him are able to make a stance. When I came home, not saying that this is what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I knew for a fact what people were looking forward to when I came home. Regardless of me calling home and saying that I had changed my life the last 2 years, 2.5 years, that I had wrote the book, what I was going to come home and do, they was waiting for me to come home and be the boo that they only knew of. Point blank, period. The girl that I came home to, bro, I wasn't there 30 days. When I was there, she made it like she was with what I was on, was motivating me to keep going that way. I went home 2-3 weeks. She had already started talking about how she had a weed plug. I'm like, nah, I ain't doing that. I ain't seen my daughter in 10 years straight. I ain't seen my daughter the whole time. I ain't seen my mama in 10 years straight. I ain't seen nobody. All this time, you wait 2-3 weeks. I'm in a car with her one day. We pull up to the house, fam. Somebody pull up beside us. She was like, hold on. She in the passenger. She reached in the back seat. It's 3-4 pounds of weed in the car. I ain't even know. I'm driving. I ain't even got a license yet. Mm. She pulled the weed out, served a person. I looked at her. She looked at me. We're looking at each other. I said, what you doing? She said, I'm trying to tell you. And right then and there, again, I said, people do, until you set that boundary and stand on it, they just believe you are who you've always been.
Last version they knew.
Right. So me, I don't know Big Meech personally, but I'm saying who he's being celebrated by. All of these people, from our understanding, from my point of view, those are the principles you still stand on because that's what you talk about in your music. We ain't seen none of them rappers on the list give anything or talk about anything else to the community. You still talk about sleeping with woman after woman after woman, how women ain't this and how women ain't that. You still talking about drugs. You still talking about alcohol. You still talking about killing each other. You still talking about switches on guns. You still talking about wasting money on jewelry and cars. You still talking about all of these same things. Now we got a man who was a face of that coming to be celebrated by people who clearly see this is Meech. That's what I'm saying. He could have easily, his voice is so loud to the youth whose mind is a sponge. If he say no, condemn that instead of condone. The minute you continue to associate yourself with them circles, to me, you condone it. You condone it. Your children grown. That's what's up. But I'm sure you got probably nephews and nieces and little cousins who look up to you and think, man, that's Big Meech. Eventually in their mind, they thinking he going to put us back in place. Whether he do it that way or not, they still going to look at it as he connected to criminals. Because that circle of people, what you talking about all the time is criminal. You ain't gave our community nothing. You strive off of our community by helping destroying it. Then on the back end, the majority of y'all got businesses and families and marriages that you never display to the community that what we really need to see. You mislead us into thinking this is how we reach and obtain success. You want us to believe that jury came from you still selling dope and getting over and manipulating people when the truth is you went and got an LLC, started a business, and you hired some people that can help your business function the way it need to function. But then you get on the mic and you talk the complete opposite. So when people are saying I'm a hypocrite, to that statement, I'm going to say where? I've been home 8 years. My message has been the same the entire time. Have I found ways to fish? Yes, because when I was straight up and down, motivation, inspiration, and of course, most importantly, talking about my journey with the King that I believe contributes to everything that I've done, that wasn't reaching the people I knew I was called to reach because of where I come from. So the minute I found a way to fish, reel people in with what I'm saying, I still got residue on me from my life, but I don't condone it. I don't live there. I don't support it in no shape, form, or fashion. But it amazed me when I started talking about them things, but to draw you in, I started realizing, I can strike a conversation that way. Let me get you over here, because if anybody go through any of my platforms, any of them, you're going to eventually say, hold on, he said something. That's the whole goal.
Right.
If you could show me any rapper, anybody that support that life, that has a consistent message of condemning, but using it as a tool, we could talk. But until then, show me where the hypocrite come in, because everything is tied into the same message.
How frustrating is it to argue with the sound bites, or because I don't even see you arguing a lot, and I haven't done a full sweep of all your content, but what I see is I see the thought provocation, mm-hmm. where somebody says something and they think they're reading you,
mm-hmm.
and you respond with God bless, thank you. So it throws them, like they've gone through that whole,
yeah,
you know, essay on why you're wrong or why they're right. But how is it, do you ever get frustrated with this being a soundbite culture and people not getting it?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. Social media pay me first and foremost. So a lot of times if I respond, it's engagement. It's helping the algorithm. It's helping pushing me out. So for all of those who think you are what they call it, you ate. If you think you help him pay me. Second thing is, a lot of time when I respond like that to them soundbite, a lot of them, they can't take it.
Yeah.
So they DM me.
Oh.
When they DM me, then I explain. I get on my voice message and talk. I let them talk to them. Sometimes I let people call me, FaceTime me. Man, bro, I can't believe you. Because I know in that comment section, it ain't going nowhere. So if I get you, if you get riled up enough to want to message me, and I love it when it's men. When men, it's nothing like being able to have that real, the one-on-one with men.
Yeah.
And then when the conversation over is, Brian, you know, I ain't see it that way at first. I just feel like a lot of times you be attacking us and you don't never, and I'm like, how, bro, if you go through my, like, I hold us accountable, I speak for us, but it seems like what I do to fish gets the most attention. When I take you there, that's what you grab hold to. But the comments used to, because I always wanted to prove what I was saying.
Yeah.
I done got to the point now where I'm like, he who has ears, let him hear it. And I have a lot of people now that defend me who've watched my platform over time. So a lot of times I ain't got to say nothing.
Right.
Because they'll get in and, right. You know, so yeah.
So stand on the meat thing for a second. It's not so much that he lived a life, served his time, paid his debts to society, if that's how they still refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps his silence is your issue.
Silence is agreeing. Silence is agreeing. If you stand around somebody right now who talking about me,
yeah,
and you don't say nothing, that person believes.
And don't come tell me, because then we got to scrap.
And you didn't handle that before you got here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one of my cousins, man, years ago. It was a guy who was talking about me at a youth football practice, man. 10, 15 people around. And he was just sitting there, and he going and going, and he spoke up and said something. But the minute you don't say nothing, that person who talking feels like everybody around me agreeing.
They're comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like in the conversation with, y'all can say what you want to say. Meech, you know why he being celebrated? He ain't being celebrated for nothing honorable. And for anybody who think that or feel that way, you just immature. You're refusing to see things for what they really are. And we celebrate that mob life, that gangster life, the crime, the violence. We honor that. We don't. LeBron James did it. I seen, was it Meech? It was somebody that I can't remember who it was. And he was, and I was like, dude, what? I've never seen you honor none of our professors but they don't want to see that. I ain't never seen you talk about people who are in arts and crafts or doing industry work as far as film or not. It's always the people, and I speak with passion because they did it to me, bro. I know what I went in for. I know over the years how many people said, free me. I understand your love for me. I get it. But none of them people held me accountable, neither. None of them people never said to me, bro, hey, we love you, want you home, but do you really realize what you done? Do you really understand the influence you can have if you use it the right way? You just wanted me home. And in the back of your mind, it was because what you expected me to still be, because you benefit. Point blank.
What do you think the free me culture has done to this generation? Because it seems like that's the auto response when somebody's incarcerated. And again, I've never been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. I understand that people that have been incarcerated say they don't wish that on their worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the sentiment, but you just killed my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm supposed to feel about your free to homie.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's contributed? And a lot of it comes through our culture, or the hip hop culture, music, like it's all related to me. But what do you think of the dangers of the free me culture?
It's awful. And for one, the black community feel entitled. They feel like at the end of the day, regardless of if it was a murder or it was an overdose on drugs, they feel like the system is wired to lock us up, throw away the key like we animals, as if them people who done the crime didn't make the choice to go in there. And then they'll go in there and they'll fight them cases and they'll scream that the DA just got a bunch of bull and trying to hook, line, and sinker. You broke the law. Point blank, period. It's that free me stuff shows that people do not like accountability. And you especially don't like it when it's from your people, when it hit home. I had a cousin, man, when I was in prison. One of my cousins got killed. And I remember they used to compare me and him a lot. So I ended up calling one of my cousins that was very close to both of us. And I was just checking on her. And she said, because we used to sit and laugh and talk when I talked about people I robbed or people I got over on selling dope and girls I did stuff to. We used to laugh about it. So when I called home, my cousin got killed. She said, I don't like it. She said, it hit home. Because now you on the opposite end of what you laughed at before. Yeah. So when she said that, it just, a light bulb went off. Like, people really don't understand the nature of what people had done. You don't understand. Somebody lost their life. They're not coming back. When I caught my case, man, this man, I want to say fiance at the time, was pregnant. I'm sitting in a cell. I got my loved one saying, free me. I hear you. He'll never get to see his child. His child will never get to see his son. I mean, his child will never get to see his daddy. On and on and so forth. Grandmama, granddaddy, uncle. He gone. You're saying, free me. Not understanding it was a choice I made with somebody I was involved in. Somebody lost their life. So when it comes to the free me culture, I hear you. But when are you going to say to yourself, you were wrong? That person, your loved one, your brother, your sister, whoever it was, they were wrong first. You ain't going to put that on social media. But then you got these loved ones on the opposite end who watching. And I'm going to tell you something crazy. I came home. I'm about 2 years in. I started getting a little success. Them same people that was at one point mad about the situation started being happy for me. Hmm. Some people didn't like that because this is the same person that y'all said, but redemption and forgiveness at some point is honorable when the behavior has changed.
Right.
You can't continue to expect a person to keep apologizing when the behavior has changed, the actions has changed, the contribution to the community has changed. Then you have nothing to say. Going back to the hypocrite, I have something to say because the behavior is consistent. To anybody who's saying I'm a hypocrite and you defending people who have clearly not cared or have not consistently done anything, and don't tell me you want to tilt and say there's a balance, because them same people are causing more destruction than good. So it ain't no, those are your hypocrites. Those are the people who marketing and promoting and manipulating you into thinking one thing when clearly on the other side, they two-faced and doing something completely different. Because you don't get to talk about rapping and killing when you got young people who are impressionable and they rapping and they talking about the killing. Now they got switches and now they selling dope and now they thinking that's what's going to make them successful. But then on the opposite end, you telling your kids, or you telling your cousins, or you telling the youth that you do reach out and talk to, and that ain't, but on the opposite end, you deceiving millions. The balance ain't there.
I think there's a degree of comparison justice that plays a part into it as well. In our defense.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And I say it because I've been part of it at times where I've assumed or I've hoped that somebody's outcome would be different just because I care about them, right? Mm. Knowing that they did something wrong, knowing that they broke the law, but I'm hoping that justice would be lighter on them. And then you start hearing the arguments of, well, white man get off all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what this country was founded on. Mm-hmm. Robbing and killing and taking and stealing.
Mm-hmm.
The through line is accountability, but there seems to be this, it's our turn. It's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pass. We should get a pass. Mm-hmm. But where does the true, like, where's the, I don't want to say accountability, but where is the line drawn in right and wrong and consequences? Consequences, we want consequences to be conditional based on how we feel about a person, not really based on what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see other people get off, like Diddy's in there now, but we start comparing them to the mm-hmm. other white men that mm-hmm. had similar accusations, but mm-hmm. but got off or were treated differently, got bail and things like that. Why do you think that is that we default to comparing our situation to somebody else who was equally wrong but fared differently?
I get it. That part I do get. Still going to go back to entitlement, because we're discussing a system that generation after generation after generation after generation has talked about is not for us. So why do you keep expecting that you're going to get some kind of different treatment? And in that conversation, we always discuss and breaking the law. We never talking righteousness. We always talking about a crime that was committed and right. why we should get a lenient sentence, or why we should get some kind of, you know what I'm saying, lesser punishment. It's always a conversation about crime, point blank, period. So it's still, you feel entitled, in my opinion. Diddy broke the law, point blank. If you want to make the comparison and say that there's white people that got out, guess what? I've been to prison. I can show you white people that's done less that also got more time than black folks. I went in with a special aggravated robbery, special aggravated kidnap, first degree premeditated murder, 3 counts of felony murder. First thing most people want to holler is you told, it ain't no, and that ain't happened. The thing is, I sit in there with people, black, white, Mexican, you name it, all kind of different races, and hear my situation and be like, bro, I got 60 years. So I can have a different conversation when it comes to that. I've seen the law get held to the fullest extent. Now, is there more than less when it comes to color? Facts. You can't argue that the system is most definitely against us. I think in that conversation at the end of the day, it's accountability. If you know that the system is not for you, why are you breaking the law? Then get there and scream you're a victim when you know the system is already designed to do what it do to you.
Yeah, you signed up to risk your life, man.
Yeah, and then you want them to be fair.
Yeah, the check it cash. You don't
want to. You want them to be fair. You want you ignorant. You cannot argue. You can't argue ignorance in the court of law. You can't get in there and say, "I want this because such and such got that, and he was a different color." That's just not how it works. Mm-mm.
Is it just music, man? This has come up in conversation on this platform before. And I actually want to get into a panel style of some very passionate people that are passionate about music,
mm-hmm.
because we're quick to defend what we like,
mm-hmm.
what gives us a vibe, what we can bop to, what got us through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really just music?
No, it's influence. It is influence, man. And to black men. It shocks me every time when I see black men saying that music ain't influence, it don't influence them.
Yeah.
You lying, bro. You ain't gonna tell me you didn't listen to something. Let's break down the sections of different things that's discussed in the music. It might didn't influence you to sell dope. Did it influence you that you couldn't trust women? Did it influence you to do something different to your car, how you dressed? Did it influence you to want to wear jewelry? Is there anything in there that you listen to? Your liquor. Did you start drinking 1800? Hennessy. Don. Grand Marnier. What? Is something in there made you try something you were influenced?
Yeah.
Point blank. People want to have that conversation because they want to exclude what it did not influence them. Yeah.
That's a conversation I have with my son about music. And one thing, I had a great dad. We didn't have the greatest relationship because of the generations, right? His dad didn't talk to him. He mm-hmm. lost his dad when he was 20. But he went through adulthood trying to figure life out. Here comes the son that is the son that has to touch the stove to see if it's hot. So mm-hmm, I'm always the wild child. But we never had a conversation about music. So for him, it was, like I said, God or no.
Mm-hmm.
Does this point to God? If it don't point to God, I don't want to hear about it. That's how I felt, right? So
right. When
I'm curious about these things, I'm sneaking to listen. Mm. So although the primary influence in my house was serve God, Christian principles, mm-hmm. seeing my parents serve in church and various things, never heard them curse, smoke, or mm-hmm. drink. Mm. Me spending that small amount of time was still planting seeds that bloomed at some point mm-hmm. in my later life, and I was just drawn to it. Mm. Like, and I had a conversation with my son. I said, son, you don't live, it's not about you not living the life of what they're saying in the music, but at some point life is going to test you, and the only thing that's going to come out is what's been put in.
Facts.
So if you've never had these thoughts, these seeds planted, that fruit won't bear out of you. So if you get in a situation, even if it's not robbing, stealing, killing, but maybe it's time alone with a female, and now you thinking about all the songs and how they doing,
for sure.
How they slut them
for
out,
sure.
smut them out,
for sure,
because they just nothing, right?
Preach.
And then when that comes out, because you're trying to draw from some experience that you don't have, all you can have is, man, what's been put in my brain, and that's what's gonna come out. And then when it comes out, you may not be prepared to deal with mm-hmm. the consequences of
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I see the challenge, and I've never. Even me listening to it,
mm-hmm.
I never defended it in a sense of like it's not impacting me.
Mm-hmm.
All of it impacts you.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is from the way you talk, like you said, the way you dress. It's something that impacts you. And again, you don't know it until oftentimes it's too late.
Right.
What happens when you're actually in a shootout or somebody shooting around you
mm-hmm.
or something happens and you happen to have access to a gun? You're mm-hmm. not that person, but mm-hmm. now this thing has triggered you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to in your mind and figure out how to process that?
Yep.
All these things that have been
put in you,
downloaded over time.
That is facts. I grew up on Boosie.
Mm.
I watched Boosie do an interview who said, man, the people in my generation that was on me, half of them dead. But in that same context of that conversation, he was basically talking about the influence back then. Where they get killed at? Clubs, playing that music or...
Oh, let's talk about it. When we ready,
man, listen,
plug and toe up.
Off the top.
Crazy.
But you weren't influenced. That's what they
said. That's wild because music is the one universal language that can penetrate your mind without your mind rejecting it. The sounds, the notes, the sonic, like mm-hmm. all of that is an mm-hmm. approach and a science
mm-hmm.
that the words come with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just bobbing my head. Okay, when they put, like I said, when they put the instrumental on, you can rap the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
front to back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never as innocent as we want it to be out of convenience.
Yeah, it becomes spiritual, man. What people don't want to believe, what you listen to get in you, and when it get in you, it'll get in your spirit. It becomes a part of you, point blank. I don't care how you twist it. The only way to get around it, because people are saying, what's the solution? What should we listen to? As a parent, really the only thing you can do is educate. Just like bro said, he snuck and listened to it. It was a lot of things I snuck and did that I know my parents didn't, that my mama didn't agree. And I still suck. The only thing you can do is educate and try to explain what portals that open, because everybody has to go through their own journey in life. Lessons have to happen in order for a person's character and integrity and values and morals and principles to build. But as a parent, really in this generation, because how bad things are, it's to try to be in your child's ear with love as much as possible. That's that's the, because I know a lot of people going to be like, well, what do you do? What? Because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
You can't stop it. You can't block it to a large degree, but you do have to have that relatability. And that's something that my son mentioned to me in the conversation. We just did an episode a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago.
I seen it.
And he said, you've become more relatable now, so I'm more comfortable coming to you with things.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is a huge jump from my generation to mm-hmm. his generation. And I know he's way more emotionally mature than I was at his age to have these conversations. But telling your kids no oftentimes isn't enough. Age dependent, right? Mm-hmm, there's mm-hmm, situations mm-hmm. where you have to have some kind of routine, some kind of muscle memory that if I say stop, you stop because the cars might hit you if you run mm-hmm, the street. Mm-hmm. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the age of we start telling them no out of convenience for us because we don't want to have a real conversation with them.
Facts.
And I think that was a lot of my generation where it was, I think my parents feared introducing topics to me because they think that I would somehow gain interest in it and it might take me down the wrong path.
Mm.
No, I'm already down the wrong path. Mm. We just don't have a relationship where we can actually discuss
it. That's heavy right there, bro. Yeah. I can mean that. Man, I don't know why, but a few times I've watched the clips or watched you, it make me kind of emotional. Because even though, you know, my relationship with my dad, we was in the cell together and then we talk on the phone and stuff. But bro, I got to take this second to commend you, bro, because you on, going back to the music, you're creating a platform to have healthy dialogue with your son, young black man, that I feel people need to see those types of interactions, that kind of love, that kind of vulnerability, because it's just not had. We just got all of the ruckus in front of us all the time. We ain't showing black fathers what it looks like in our home when we're trying to be a father.
When we don't get it right.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I commend you for that, man. For sure.
Yeah, that was the whole nature of the platform was I saw myself responding to my son the way I wanted my dad to respond to me, which was to not parent me. Just let me be. And my son is not that person, though. I have two sons. I keep saying my son. Yeah. My oldest son, who's 17 now. 13, 14 is when I started figuring out how to not be in the same place with my dad.
Mm.
You coming home, I'm going to the basketball court. I'm trying to create as much. Yeah, and again, no abuse, no nothing. Like, I just didn't like his rules. And for me, when I did have conversations with him, the ones that I was, you know, had the courage to have, the no factor was too much for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I was one of those mama's boys. I asked my mom, she said, go ask your dad. I already know the approval rate or the approval potential had already dropped 80% if I had to go ask him.
Right.
But the funny thing was, as a result of this podcast platform, him and I have had conversations and he's admitted what he didn't know.
Mm.
And we judge our parents based on where we are in life, not understanding that they're figuring it out too.
Mm. Oh, that's deep right there.
They've never had an us before.
That's real.
Us today.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? So I found a lot more grace. And just like you mentioned in the last episode that, you know, you and your pops work things out and then y'all are rebuilding a relationship. Like that's really what it's about. I think sometimes, and I say this often, is we, in parenting, we take it's our turn approach.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
my turn to rule.
Mm-hmm.
This is my kingdom. Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yep.
I figured it out. You're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Kicking our kids out at 18. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go unprepared. And that cycle is perpetuated. And now we're more than 400 years behind because we're creating more distance and more. Yeah. So I'm really passionate about showing my kids that I'm not perfect. And some people look at it like, man, you always talking about I share what I've done wrong because I don't think I'm the only one that did it wrong.
That's dope.
And here's where I am with it. And here's how it impacted my kids. And here's where I bump my head. Maybe you don't have to.
Yeah.
So that's the whole platform, that's real. Bro. So I love these conversations that push us to actually put words to thoughts and feelings that we really want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a long time, I didn't want to, like, I'm a huge Jay fan.
Yeah.
I mean, square up when him and Nas was going through it.
Yeah.
He like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then I realized that number one, I don't live that life. But number two, one thing that my dad told me early that always stuck with me is told me not to worship people. And I get that today, now, more than ever.
That's good.
More than ever, because we put so much responsibility in. You know, I think there is some level of responsibility when you have a platform or when you have a voice, mm-hmm. like you said mm-hmm. with the Meech thing. I think that comes with the territory. Whether you ask for it or not, I think it comes with it. But as parents, we can't push our responsibility out to those that are the most influential mm-hmm. and then blame them when they've influenced our child more than we can or have.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one.
Very.
Because your kids will rebel against you.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And they're more prone to listening to the world.
Yeah.
First, because they feel like the parent can be more of the enemy
yeah.
than the actual enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't promote being friends with you. Like, my kids know that we're not friends. My son has said that on the platform. He's like, I know you're not my friend. My dad told me early.
Yeah.
I'm your father. I'm not your friend.
That's real.
I can't afford to miss opportunities or to create a false expectation mm-hmm. for you of mm-hmm. how the world works because I just want to be cool with you.
Yeah. You set a tone.
Yeah.
Setting that tone.
Yeah. So how does this play into you having an adult child now and you miss a good span of their life? Like, what's the urgency for you with who you are now, standing on what you stand on? What's important to you from a father perspective that you know, that you're focusing on with your adult child? Cause adult children are different. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah. For one, being an example that I would want her to be, going back to the hypocrite, I wouldn't want to.
You don't want her to want you back then.
Right. Yeah. And that's scary to even think of. Even when I watch people say certain things, you know, what my daughter might like based on, you know, but, coming home, I already knew it was going to be a challenge because of, well, I don't know how much had been said or, you know, but having that worldly status or reputation, I knew it was, people had probably told her. And my mindset was, man, I got to be something completely different. I have to be completely different than what, and that was the only thing that I had to build on, really. And I had to open myself up to being vulnerable. You know, I didn't grow up with affection. I had to find ways to be affectionate. I had to encourage. I didn't grow up getting encouraged and people pouring into me. I had to make sure that I didn't use those excuses that I never had it to not give it to her. So I apologized to her yesterday for something that I knew she was in the right for. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And let her know, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't intentional. You know what I'm saying? I get you have a right to feel everything you feel and you can, and whatever process you have to go through, just know I love you and I'm here. I'm ready to talk whenever. And when I say stuff like that, I have to push through sometimes mm-hmm. because I don't even know how to explain it, but this my baby and I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? So I just do my best to try to be the example I know I would want her to look at in a man, mm-hmm. the values, the respect I have for her, when she around, I make sure she see how I treat my woman. You know what I'm saying? I don't want her to look at me and say, well, my daddy, you know what I'm saying? I don't trust me and my daddy. And my dad, I don't want that. I want to, like I said in the last interview, in order to move different, something you need new experiences to trump the old. So I want to make sure I try to flush some of that out with her being able to say she has a different example of anything, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to her daddy, man. So that's and it's not easy.
Parenting only becomes more difficult over time.
It is not easy. Yeah, but that's my baby, man, and I want her to look at me and say, this is the kind of man I want in my life. This is the kind of man I would want around my children. This is the kind of man I would only bring around my my family. You know what I'm saying?
So we're gonna kind of wrap, man, at least this episode. There'll be plenty more to come.
Most definitely.
Well, what does your success path entail in terms of what you're what your kingdom assignment is here on this earth. Because I don't even know if you know what ultimate success looks like, but on this path, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. This is what I want to be associated, that I want to be synonymous with Joe T. Mm-hmm. Baker III. What are those things, those principles?
When it comes to my definition of success, just a small portion of it is to be a reflection of the fruits of the spirit. Mm. It's to love more, be kind, gentle, more long-suffering.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I look at as true success. It don't have nothing to do with the tangible things. When I'm growing and my spirit is in a place of joy and stuff like that, I look at that as a healing. That's success to me. I feel like all the other things just happen when you have those attributes. You gonna hustle, you gonna grind, you gonna create the life you want when you reach the level of success where you happy internally, joyful and stuff like that. But ultimately, I literally, when he said, let your light shine so that men may see your Father in heaven and glorify him, I truly want to be a vessel. Imperfected, flawed, striving. I want to be open and let you know I'm human, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't want people to look at me and idolize me or think I say things that I still may struggle with. I just believe in each one teach one. Just because someone, if you're mature enough and I'm dealing with something, just because I say it and I'm dealing with it don't mean you couldn't receive it. It could still protect you. I could be battling with porn,
yeah,
but explain to you how it's damaged me mentally, how it's damaged my life with my woman or this. But that don't mean you can't receive it, because how you gonna tell me something? You don't shoot the messenger. It might be him just trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I could be trying to talk myself through it at the same time. I just want people to know, man, I love him first, and I'm a witness. And with that being said, I have to understand at times that comes with backlash and being disliked and not being, you know, and people being critical of me, but I'm a vessel, man. And if he asks me to move on and speak on him, bro, that's my life.
Yeah. Truth doesn't have a minimum requirement for those that believe it. Truth is,
I like that.
So them waiting on you to get the message that God is delivering through you is a disservice to themselves.
Facts.
A lot of, like, that's why I said this platform is probably a good fit, because we talk about things that we're going through.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe it's the people prefer different deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're confident in what you're saying, sometimes they think that means that you're an expert or you're holier than thou or what mm-hmm. have you. But keep pushing, man. I think it's necessary. Clearly it's necessary. And I look forward to many fruitful conversations in the future, man. Anything you want to end with? Socials or books, anything like that?
Nah, the socials, that it's
out there. So you, man, y'all,
listen, man, go check my guy out, man. I think my guy dope. I don't know, last time we had that conversation, and even when I first met you, bro, I don't know. I'm just glad we here at this point, man, and I really respect and like what you got going on, for sure.
Oh, works out, man. Yeah. With that, we appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.